Grace to you and peace and provisions for communicating the good news of Jesus Christ to each one of you this day. Before we pray, I want to mention that we're going to look at that section from Psalm 34. You may want to open your hymn book and look at it as we consider those words of David. Join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this Lenten tide. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, for his true body and his blood, particularly as it was ready to manifest itself in this world, to die on the cross for our sins. We also thank you for the time of reflection. And this morning, as we think about David, in a real Lenten situation, faced with the difficulties and sorrows of life, and what his response was, we realize that he already recognized the promises of a Messiah and the nearness of his God in his life on earth. May it be so with us also. In Jesus' name, amen. Change and decay, and all around I see, O thou that changest not, abide with me. In many ways, that was the situation for David. He had been a favorite in the court of Saul. He had killed Goliath. They had sung praises to him, and then all at once things changed. And Jonathan came out into the field and indicated that he had better flee for his life or he would die. And he did. He went south. He went to the land of the Philistines in Gath. He hoped not to be recognized, but he was. And he thought, that's the end of me. But then he feigned madness. And the king of Gath said, I don't need another madman here. And he was off to the caves in the Judean desert. And in a situation like that, David responds with these words that we sang a few minutes ago. I'd like to read them for you and then take a few minutes to look at some of what comes out of them. He said, I will thank the Lord at all times, even in the cave of Adullam. My mouth will always praise him. My soul will boast about the Lord. Those who are oppressed will hear it and rejoice. Come and magnify the Lord with me and let us highly honor his name together. I went to the Lord for help. He answered me. He rescued me from all my fears. All who look to him will be radiant. Their faces will never be covered with shame. Here's a poor man who cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The messenger, or we might say the angel of the Lord, camps around those who fear him, and he rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the person who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you holy people who belong to him. Those who fear him are never going to be in need. Young lions go hungry, and they may even starve. But those who seek the Lord's help have all the good things that they need. Isn't it interesting to see David starting out by saying, I will thank the Lord at all times, even while I'm alone here in this desert by myself, in every situation? It's notable because there were troubles all around David at that point. My mouth will always praise him. Never a time, as far as that goes, when there shouldn't be praises coming out of our mouth. Not cursing, but blessing. Recognition of the higher good of God and his kindness and his forgiveness and his love that is always there. And then he comes along with another one. My soul will boast about the Lord. Not in his accomplishments, not in what he had done, but rather boast in what God had done, that he'd been saved from Saul, that he'd been saved from the Philistines, that he was out here living. And then he says, those who are oppressed will hear and rejoice. He's speaking about other people. He's saying, those others of you who have the same experience that I have, those that have been humbled in the school of sorrow and suffering like I have, be strengthened by this experience that I'm sharing with you, because I'm telling you how good God is at a time like this. And then that third verse, which is so meaningful to me. Come and magnify that Lord with me. In every situation, ascribe greatness to God. Do it together with others. That's what it says here. It's a call. Come and magnify the Lord with me. I'm asking you to do it today. It was some 35 and a half years ago that I used that as a way of asking my wife to marry me. I said, Bernice, will you come and magnify the Lord with me? Will you exalt his name together with me? And as many of you know, I had thought about my side of the statement for a long time, and she had only a few seconds. But she answered with those words, wherever you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will die. She quoted Ruth. And isn't that the thing we should always say to each other? Come and magnify the Lord together with me. Let's highly honor his name, not our name that we lift up, but his name that we lift high. And especially for those of us who are called upon to be his messengers in the congregations as pastors, to lift that name of Jesus Christ high. And then David confesses, I went to the Lord for help. I couldn't go to myself anymore. I had no strength. Or we might recognize again, it's not by my works. It's totally by his grace. And we are only to call upon him, to receive that grace, to pray for help, to entreat him to use us in his work in this earth while we still live. And then David says again, and you know, he answered me. He rescued me from all of my fears. He did hear, he did help, he did rescue. We either live in fear or in faith. And David saying he rescued me from that fear. He filled me again by his Holy Spirit with faith. All who look to him will be radiant. And the picture here, you know, is that as we look to God, it's like we are a mirror. And the reflection of his loving kindness, of his forgiveness, of his readiness to help us in every situation comes to us, and it reflects from us again back to others. Our faces will not be covered with shame. They will not be tarnished so that they cannot reflect God's glory, but rather they will reflect it out to others, to the nations. What a privilege it is to be reflectors for the God who has made heaven and earth. And then David says, here is a poor man. Just look at me. I'm one who cried out. And it's an example, you know, for all of us. He's saying, you too are poor people. You are dependent. You cannot control your destiny. You're like I am. And he says, in my case, the Lord has heard and saved me from all of these troubles. All of that immediate danger. And you notice it says all of the troubles, not only just in the cave of Adullam, but he's saying, I can look back over the time when I was a shepherd boy. I can look back in my family, and I can even see forward for the rest of my life that the Lord is going to be there to help, to care, to protect, and to save. And then 7, I wonder if we believe these words that David shares with us. He says, the angel of the Lord camps around those who fear him, and he rescues them. In Hebrews it said that the angels are ministering spirits. They've been sent out to serve those who have been called into salvation. How often do we realize that God has sent his angels to encamp around us, even as we move about during the day, and that they're there to rescue us, to protect us, to care for us, to lift up our feet so that they won't be dashed against a stone, to give us the needed energy, the needed enlightenment and understanding to be Christ's servants in this world. And then there's a taste and see that the Lord is good. Seek the experience yourself, David is saying, the experience that I have. Cast all your cares upon the Lord in the midst of the most difficult situation. Try it, and you'll find out that God is good. And he said, you'll find also that you are blessed if at that time you take refuge in him rather than refuge in yourself or refuge in knowledge or refuge in some other people. Simply take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you holy people who belong to him. You know, we have to fear someone. Will we fear our own failure? Do we fear other people? Or will we, as David says here, fear the Lord, you people who have been saved? You belong to him. Fear him. Respect him. Recognize that you are dependent upon him. Commit yourself to him. Because those who fear him will never be in need. God himself will be the one to provide, even when it seems like there's no way out or no provision possible. And then finally, the 10th verse, a kind of a climax. Young lions go hungry, and they may even starve. And when I think of the Gorongoro crater in Tanzania, and I think of the lions and the elephants and all of the animals in that crater, and I realize that the lion is going to be the last to die, because he's the top of the food chain, you might say, and particularly the young lion. But David reminds us here that even those will sometimes be hungry and starve. But in contrast, I here in this cave, and all of you, my fellow believers, David is saying, whoever seeks for the Lord help will have all the good things that they need. God's taken care of me. He's also ready to take care of you. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear God and Father, we know that your hand is always open, that your forgiveness, that your love, that your enlightenment and direction, that your refuge and strength is always there in an open-handed fashion coming to us. O Lord, let us look to you, that the radiance of your face, the radiance of your cross, that Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, may be radiated into our lives and off of our faces, that others too may see Jesus Christ in us. And Lord, may that radiation not only be in our lives of what we do, but also what we say, that everything we say may reflect back again this fact that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that even in the most difficult of situations, we can cast our cares upon you and we can praise you as David did. May his example be our guideline during this Lenten season. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.